This is Phil Lamar, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello?
Hello.
Okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't still on mute.
Hello out there in TV land.
Yes, in TV land. Are you watching us? No, you're not watching us.
You talk TV, I talk TV.
Yeah, you are not watching, you are listening to us. Yeah, man. I don't know.
All right, enough of that trash. Let's get on with the topics.
Yes, topics.
Speaking of topics, we're switching up the format here. So if you're a little unfamiliar with the way the program typically goes, we're going to be doing a little bit of a 10-minute blitz that's kind of broken down more of a top three. Top three news articles of the week. Basically a This Week in Geek without actually saying This Week in Geek.
And it's kind of like what has really caught our eye, and in my case,
it's like
later.
What's important this week?
Well, right, but it's like stuff that we've, like, either you've shared to me or I've shared to you, and one of these stories that we'll talk about later, really, like, all as I wrote so I could save the story to myself in Facebook Messenger was, I'm getting angrier and angrier. So there's that. But yes, reformatting.
Yes, reformatting. So in this week's adventure into geekdom, we have a whole lot of things planned with the topics, some on Disney and their rights with Mickey, some with very poorly written articles that pertain to people and how they try to garner attention for that topic, even though it's very misleading. And
that's
then,
what Jen said.
Yeah. And then there's the, you know, the DCAU episodes that essentially are the same story. And then we're going to get to our main tent pole, our main knocking down of the tent pole. But we'll get there in a minute. So without further ado, let's go to the Disney side of things.
Apparently, Disney could soon lose exclusive rights to Mickey Mouse.
And it's funny because at first I didn't realize what exactly that was to mean. And yeah, I was like, how does that even matter, honestly? Well, and it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. It just means that more or less that if it goes in public domain, that anybody can use the character for as long as it's not per se infringing on Disney and their property.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm a little...
But sir!
Like, I don't feel bad for Disney, per se.
Oh, no. Hell no.
I mean, they've had the stinking copyright forever.
But, like, here's the thing. Like, I watch...
But that's why you trademark something.
Yeah. I watch certain things, and I watch certain people on YouTube, and I'll go ahead and say who they are, because I have no... I like watching some of their videos. I don't watch everything, but I watch Clownfish TV. And it's Neon and Geeky Sparkles, and they talk about the same things kind of we do, but they're more of a, they do like pop culture news and rants and all that kind of stuff and whatever. So they're a lot more ranty than we are, and that's fine. That's their thing. So originally I saw a story from them that they have removed Walt Disney's speech from one of the rides at Disneyland or something. This Walt Disney speech that he did decades ago.
Well, as far as I know, they've changed a lot of the language and the nomenclature and the things that people are familiar with from Disney.
Yeah.
Just because of, you know, progressivism and, you know, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I really don't care. I'm not getting into that right. Tirade.
And
but the thing is they're kind of neutering the whole vibe that Disney was started with.
Well, again, the whole thing, and I'll just boil it down, and I'll probably link to their video in the post. The point of their video was that there is nothing in the speech that is being talked about, that is being whatever. There's nothing in the vocabulary of what Walt is saying that goes against any. It shouldn't offend the fence pole outside my apartment, let alone people. The speech that plays before, I forget, it's one of the rides at Disneyland. It's basically Walt giving you his spiel on imagination and how everyone...
I wonder if it's the Tomorrowland one.
I don't remember.
Because I know they've changed a lot of the stuff pertaining to that.
Yeah, I honestly do not remember. I just know what I saw in their video. But anyway, to kind of bring it back to them losing the, you know, that Mickey could become public domain. First of all, it's Walt Disney Company. It's your main character. It's your flagship character. Why wouldn't you? I mean, that's like, and obviously now they have it back, but that's like Hasbro losing out on the copyright for Hot Rod for a number of years, where they had to call just the figures either Rodimus or Hot Rodimus or whatever. Well, yeah,
it strikes me as odd that they would purposely and intentionally
allow that to happen.
Yeah, I mean, well, why would, like, I get copyright. Copyrights do run out, and then eventually they hit public domain. But why wouldn't you trademark it?
Yeah.
That's what Hasbro does. They trademark everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it stands in perpetuity as long as they continue to use it.
Yeah. And Mickey is used all the time. Mm-hmm. Mickey is the most used. Like, first thing anyone says about Disney World, Disneyland, whatever. Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse, Goofy, whatever. Like, it's the Disney characters. He's the mouse. You know, why wouldn't you go ahead and reclaim your exclusive rights so it doesn't go to public? Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, that's happening. And then, look, I'm the biggest person that does not really pay. Like, I don't watch any news programs. I read stories online as long as they aren't clickbait. And sometimes I get fooled on some good clickbait, but there are some really bad clickbaits out there. And we're going to talk about one that's really, really bad, and then one that just makes me, like I said earlier, angry. And the first one is coming from Cinema Blend.
Now, I will preface this with some of these companies drive me up a wall mm-hmm. with their clickbaity titles. I cannot stand it. It goes against everything that I was taught in media. Like, it's an ethics thing. Like, it irks me. Something terrible to see some of these things happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And so the first one here, and it's just so bad. From Cinema Blend, after locking lips with Tom Cruise in Top Gun Maverick, Jennifer Connelly lands next big screen role. All right. First of all, Jennifer Connelly.
She was big without Tom Cruise. She's been big since the 80s.
Yeah, she's been. Yeah, exactly. I mean, she may not be a
name. She's not like A-list anymore, technically, like, because everybody kind of falls off that map when the new packaging, you know, comes in. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's, you can't thumb your nose at her either, though. Like, these people, they were something big back in the 80s through the 90s and early 2000s. And it's just because there's just a new generation and people didn't grow up with them. So they're just not as big anymore. So people think that, oh, she got her start by, you know, she got her big break by kissing Tom Cruise. It's like, no, that's not even, they both
no.
were their own, you know? Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, she's been in enough stuff that's well-renowned. Like, how dare you? I don't know. Like, what's worse is it's written by a female and it's a sexist article. Like,
and I understand some of these big movies, big websites like Cinema Blend, like Comic Book Resources, which we'll talk about in a minute. And like, you know, big websites like that. I understand some of those have like title generators and the person like can't even take the time to come up with a title. It's just a title.
No. They're usually editors.
Oh, okay.
I've worked in writing articles for websites. Okay. They make you write this crap. Like, they literally, like, you as the author do not get a say in the title. It is the editor's job to decide what is the title. And that speaks volumes. Although I don't know how they do it on this site. You know, Cinema Blend, I have a lot of issues with Screen Rant, Cinema Blend, some of these other ones, because they're not factually correct.
Yeah.
A lot of the things that they bring up, I can poke holes in most of their articles just because it's just poorly researched.
Yeah. So just to give people a quick history lesson on Jennifer Connelly, the actress, I'm going to say outside of the Duran Duran Union of the Snake music video short that she debuted in 1983, her biggest debut was 1986's Labyrinth. Labyrinth was a huge film in 1986. That was huge. Yeah. And then her next big role, like, oh my God, like everyone knows this, she was Jenny in The Rocketeer. 11-year-old me has been in love with Jennifer Connelly since I was 11 in 1991. After that, she went on to a little small role, sort of, in 1995's Higher Learning as Taryn. And then her Make Me Famous roles are like A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe, House of Sand and Fog, Requiem of a Dream. I mean, literally, those are the first three. And the next big top thing here on IMDb is Rocketeer. And since all of that, she's done plenty of other things. She was the original Betty Ross in 2003's Hulk.
Yep.
Like, she don't need to lock lips with Tom Cruise to get a role in Hollywood. She can get her own damn roles.
Yep. Dinner or otherwise.
Exactly.
They want you to take the roles!
We're going to go to your favorite restaurant. We're going to take all the roles. They want you to take the roles.
Honey guy.
That was a terrible joke, but it fit with the conversation. I couldn't help it.
Yes.
So anyways, my college professor, because I took media, like I took television, I took media, I took film, I took screenwriting, I took, you know, the whole docket. So, you know, he posts, what are your thoughts about the headline of this article? Which is what prompted this whole thing in the first place, because again, it says, after locking lips with Tom Cruise in Top Gun Maverick, Jennifer Connelly lands next big screen role. And the first person to pipe up was one of the female people that had taken this course, you know, not same time as me, but had said, it sounds like they're trying to portray that she's only notable for kissing Tom Cruise, but I'm just reading it. And my professor goes, she's an Academy Award winning actress. Tom Cruise is not. Yeah. And the other person goes, extra disappointed that this was written by a woman. I says, it was a poorly written headline meant to be clickbait. I said, it should have read something more like Jennifer Connelly lands next big screen role after Top Gun Maverick. Or Jennifer Connelly lands next big screen role in dark comedy series, which is ultimately what the whole article is supposed to be about anyway.
Yep.
That's telling you exactly what you need to know and not being clickbaity.
Yep.
But it gives you all the information you need to make a reputable decision whether you want to click it or not.
Exactly.
Whereas, like, this doesn't entice me to click the article anyway because I don't care if she locked lips with Tom Cruise. It makes no difference on me. Tell me what the article's about.
Yeah.
Because it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It has to do with this dark comedy series that she's starring in next.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't understand, and that's one of the things that, again, I'm glad I don't write anymore because it's bittersweet. I loved writing articles, but at the same time, I hated the editorial team coming over and taking over everything I wrote or assigning me something I had no business talking about in the first place. Like, hey, Steve, why don't you review this app that's on Android and iPhone? It's like, I don't have an iPhone to even test it. I don't have iOS. And they're like, well, do you have a tablet? And I said, no. I'm like, I have nothing that has iOS. Like, there's no way for me to even test it. So they're like, well, we'll get somebody else to tack it on.
No.
And I'm like, onto the article that I'm writing. And it's like, that's so disingenuous. Like, I hate being assigned articles. It's like, let me choose something I actually can, you know, report on.
Yeah.
Like, they had me do one where I was comparing, I think it was, I had two different phones. I went from a, I think it was like a Galaxy S5, and I think that's when I got my Pixel 3A. And so I was able to compare versions of Android and how it affected with certain apps and stuff. So that I didn't mind, but I don't know. It just felt wrong writing on something that I had no business of even doing. But even then, like, changing the article title to make it sound more appealing is frustrating. I don't know. Stuff like that just, it rubs me wrong just knowing that the organization does that. And so it makes me want to click on them even less.
Yep.
So
recently I have written two articles on geekcastrio.com where it's my own personal opinion. I don't mislead anybody, but I want to have a catchy title. And depending on what the topics are, I try to go to the source material. Well, part of Spider-Man 2002 source material was when they did the original promotional stuff before the towers fell in 2001. They told us next summer we were told to go for the ultimate spin. My article states, the title of the article is, in 2001 we were told next summer go for the ultimate spin. Now, I did a lot of research on this next one beforehand, and I knew what I wanted the title to be pretty much immediately. I asked people on Twitter, because I was 8 years old when Jason Todd was voted to die. So it was never on my radar. It never affected me either way. But I was curious and to see who on my Twitter feed would respond to this, and I got, like, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 responses. I'm going to say anywhere from 10 to 15 responses that weren't, oh, I wasn't alive yet. Huge difference in being 8 years old and 48 years old in 1988, and then you not even being born yet. So my title for the Jason Todd article that I wrote up was Why I Never Cared About Jason Todd Until Now. Because, honestly, I never knew about the character. Never. He was always the second Robin. Dick Grayson was always the number one Robin in my mind. And the reason why I say that until now is because in Sean Gordon Murphy's Batman White Knight universe, he accidentally flipped the Robin. So he made Jason the first Robin and made Dick the second one. And he made it seem like the Joker killed him. But you know what I mean? Like, that's why I care about the character now, specifically in this one corner of DC Comics. So, the next one that I want to talk about briefly, and then we'll move on, and I'll do a little thing showing you actually a good, you know, clickbaity article title, is over at those lovely people at Comic Book Resources, written by Cole Kennedy. As of this recording, it was published 5 days ago, because I don't understand why any website doesn't have an actual, like, when you publish your articles, I wish the post would just say the date, not just 5 days ago. So anyway, this is most recently. The title reads, 10 DCAU episodes that tell the same story. And then the subtitle under it. But if you're on your Google feed, or if you're on Google most of the time, it just shows you that before you click on it. It doesn't show you the subtitle of the DCAU tells versions of the DC Comics universe, and there's some narrative overlap between the episodes of different animated series. So they have a top 10 here, and like Brave New Metropolis and A Better World explore alternate universes. Just because you explore alternate universes does not mean it is the exact same story. Brave New Metropolis and A Better World were two completely different stories. Injustice for All in the Secret Society, one, Lex Luthor's Secret Society didn't didn't get along. Whereas in the other one, Grodd's, Lex's Injustice Gang didn't get along. And then the other one, Gorilla Grodd's Secret Society, was a well-oiled machine. That's still overlapping the same. It's not the same story. And it just, so as this list goes down further and further and further, and I'm just like, oh God. And we get to number one, and number one is Perchance to Dream and For the Man Who Has Everything, reveal the hero's desires. Well, okay, this one's kind of the almost the exact same story, sort of. In Perchance to Dream, Bruce is stuck by Mad Hatter in a world where his father didn't die and whatever. Same thing with For the Man Who Has Everything. It's basically Clark Kent under mind control, where he sees that Krypton never exploded and he has his family. Okay, so maybe that makes their point, but some of these other stories do not equal out to be the same thing. And it just irks the hell out of me. Meanwhile, if you go over to a clickbait article on Yahoo, Han Solo Blaster from the original Star Wars trilogy is going up for auction next month. That doesn't read like a clickbait article to me. That reads like an honest article. I read the first paragraph of the article. It gives you the information. It gives you links to the Rock Island Auction Company, who will be auctioning off his DL-44 heavy blaster pistol from the film. So there's a right way and a wrong way, even in clickbait.
Yeah, I mean, I get it.
I don't know, it's just infuriating sometimes. All right. Shall we let them do their own clickbaity things, or where are we going next?
So, we're going to tent poles, or the lack thereof. So, what do I mean by that? Well, if anybody's been paying attention to Disney's track record lately, they're having a bit of a struggle. Let's just say that. Between Buzz Lightyear not performing very well, for whatever reason you want to associate with it. Right. I personally have no qualms against it. I don't care for the... I know that some people blame it for certain undertones. I personally, like, I don't let my kids watch Disney films anymore anyhow. But it has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with, I just don't like the message in general on Disney stuff, which is, do whatever you like. You know, do what feels good. Don't, you know, worry about the repercussions, you know, because that's majority of the stuff that happens in Disney stuff nowadays. Also, it, you know, just, I just don't prefer any of the stuff that they spew. A lot of their stuff's just garbage. Like my kids, I don't need them to watch a zombie cartoon. Yeah. Yes, I know we had Beetlejuice as a kid, but again, like...
Well, and things have changed in 30, 40 years, so...
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But, like, a lot of that stuff terrifies my kids. They don't watch any of that. I prefer not to expose them to it, so...
Yep.
So anyways, regardless of that, Buzz Lightyear didn't do so hot, unexpectedly, which, if you look at the toy aisle, it's funny because... And I say this because companies, you can tell how well a movie does by its toys,
mm-hmm.
and how quickly it's clearanced out, because or how quickly they push the Transformers stuff aside. Because Buzz Lightyear in Walmart stores is overtaking the Transformers section, because the Transformers section gets smaller because people are buying it all. And yeah, true. And the Buzz Lightyear section is still sitting there, full inventory, which is amazing to me. And but then you go into like somewhere like Target, and same thing happens with like the Batman, or, and I know that's not Disney, but that's just tentpole related anyway.
Yeah, it's tentpole.
And so the Batman is one of them. And then there's Thor: Love and Thunder, or Doctor Strange. and their stuff is being clearanced out for 70% off because they can't get rid of it. And I know for a fact, because I haven't heard really anything since those came out of theater, that they did well, didn't do well. It's kind of just been bleh, like nothing. And I get the vibe that just people didn't really care or didn't resonate or just don't go to the theater anymore, which could be a combination of multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
I myself have not. The last time I went to a theater was probably end of April, beginning of May. And I took my kids to see like a family movie that was rated G.
Mm-hmm.
And otherwise, I haven't been to the movie theater since the last Terminator movie came out.
The last, and
that's only because my family wasn't around. So like, I had nowhere else to go, and I went with a coworker and went and saw it, and it was all right. I mean, we were the only two in the theater, which it was telling.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then going from there, like the last movie I saw in the theater before that was The Force Awakens.
And that was 2015.
Yeah. So, I mean, I haven't been to the theater in ages. I prefer to just wait till I get home because I don't go to the theater. I don't want the commotion. I don't want the time taken out of my day. It's just easier to watch it at home. But I think that people are just getting fatigued. Like, I saw a funny meme the other day, and I'm going to see if I can find it on my phone while I'm thinking about it. Somebody made the joke, and it was actually pretty funny, and it was about Endgame.
Oh,
and yeah. The fact that, you know, basically Marvel stopped being interesting after that. I mean, not that they haven't had anything decent come out, because they have.
I mean, the Disney Plus shows are good.
They're good, but they're nothing like, I don't feel like I just have to watch them.
See, it depends on the character for me, but generally I do. Like, WandaVision I was curious about, and I need to go back and watch that, but WandaVision...
I was curious about it too, but ultimately, like, it didn't resonate with me as much as I thought it would.
Right.
Like, any of them.
Yeah, and then, like, Falcon and Winter Soldier is because I want to follow Sam Wilson wherever he goes kind of thing. And that was kind of cool. Hawkeye is Hawkeye. You know, that's fun. I have zero interest in Loki. I've had zero interest in Loki since he first showed up in Avengers. So, you know, I probably won't watch that. Ms. Marvel, she's an okay character, but I don't have any. Like, the last time I saw her was somebody playing the Spider or one of the Avengers games for PS whatever or Xbox whatever. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Did you find your meme yet?
I didn't find the meme, but I can sum it up. What essentially was making the joke of is, you know, the fact that after Endgame, there's really nowhere else to go. Like, it's kind of like you blew your load on the whole, you know, Endgame method. And honestly, like, after Endgame, I tapped out. I still somewhat passively care and watch, but like, I'm not invested anymore. All of the characters that brought me into the universe, like, and I get that they're trying to shake it up. They're trying to, you know, the other people are aging out, and I get that, and I'm perfectly fine with it. Understand it. It makes sense. You know, they're bringing up new characters. They're trying to milk the rest of the franchise. The problem is, and I've seen that, you know, DC Warner Brothers has never really done all that hot on all their stuff since pretty much the Dark Knight trilogy, and otherwise, like, a lot of their stuff just kind of fizzled out. Like, there's nothing that great on any of their fronts, whether it be DC, whether it be Marvel, Star Wars. You know, some of their recent stuff is other than the Mandalorian and part of Boba Fett. Like, 'cause Boba Fett started losing its way and went back to the Mandalorian and Luke because they just lost its legs.
Because Boba Fett in film and on television is an inconsequential character. He doesn't matter at all.
No, and I get that. So, like, Mandalorian was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Love
Kenobi Mando. Was really good. I'm watching a special edit recut of that right now because somebody And I'm seeing some of the edit points. Some people are complaining, oh, some of those are too sharp. And it's like, well, look what he's got to work with. He doesn't have the original footage.
Yeah.
He's doing it from six episodes of a Disney Plus series that's been ripped. So, but I mean, I'm only like 30 minutes into it so far. And so far I'm enjoying it much better than the series. But I mean, ultimately, like, I feel like Disney has relied so heavily on their tentpoles, you know, the High School Musical, the Marvel stuff, the Star Wars stuff, they milked pirates until nobody cared anymore. Like, I feel like it's hitting that threshold again, but with Marvel. And yes, like, I got to give Feige credit, but same token, there comes a point when if you don't shake it up enough and it's become formulaic, just because it's become formulaic and it's worked so many times before doesn't mean it's going to continue forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like they've kind of hit this point where people just don't care.
And oh yeah, absolutely. Cause you know, with Infinity War and Endgame,
That was my tap out moment. I was invested until that point. And then at that point, I was like, okay, this is a good getting off the ride moment.
Yeah. But the thing of it is with Infinity War and Endgame, that's a giant universe ending story, whether they fix things or not. But that's like, you know, IDW, they waited X number of years before they brought Unicron into the Transformers comics. Again, you know, you bring Thanos, you bring one of these big Marvel bat, like Thanos, Galactus, whatever. You think of any of the big universal Marvel villains that aren't just some guy in an evil iron suit kind of thing, then there's nowhere for your universe to go. I agree with that. Yes, for the films, for me, Endgame was the ending.
Yep.
Now, I love, like I said, I loved Falcon and Winter. I loved Hawkeye.
Yep.
I need to revisit WandaVision because I wasn't really...
I paid attention to it, and it leads into the Multiverse of Madness.
Well, yeah, right, yeah. I mean, I paid attention to it, but, like, I want to give it another go and whatever else. And like I've already said, I have zero interest in Loki, so, you know, it is what it is. But the thing of it is that you're right. Some of these tent poles that they've tried to build up, they're going to start crumbling down because...
It's just natural progression. I mean, and Hollywood's gone through phases. And we talked about this in my filmmaking class years ago when I was in it. Hollywood goes through these phases. Like, they have a apocalyptic end of the world phase where everybody's dying and there's zombies or there's, you know, some plague that wipes everything out. And, you know, we're not quite there yet because we're still reeling from COVID, but there's still that thing. I mean, there was a time that they brought back Westerns for a little bit, or brought back like period pieces of like the 1800s or early 1900s. And I mean, you hit these natural progression points where things are good for a while, then they're not. Like, I mean, we had vampires come back for a little bit. We had witches come back. We had, you know, fantasy films come back. We had, you know, with Lord of the Rings and things like that, and the Chronicles of Narnia, and you had pirates. I mean, you've had various sci-fi. You've had other franchises. We've had like 20 years of superhero fatigue.
Yep.
And we're due for a turnover. Like there's only so much. And I think that's why when Ryan Reynolds came out with, you know, his new movies, you know, the one where he's coming back from the future to, you know, fight the time travel organization that put him on his record. And then there's the one, it's the Adam Project. That's what it's called.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get that, you get Free Guy.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're seeing these movies made by these comedians or made by these people that they're not a part of, like, I mean, yes, he does Deadpool. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, but that's okay. But that's a character that he needed to. I mean, whether they went after him or he went to them for the actual Deadpool films, that's a character that everyone in the world, including him, starting the line starts with him and goes around the fucking world. Because I'm sorry, but like the line starts with Ryan Reynolds and goes around the damn world. It is the thing where everybody was so pissed that his Wade Wilson in X-Men Origins got such a raw deal with the way the character was written and whatever else that, oh my God, years later. And look, I might have gotten sick of his celebrityism. But I've never, like, outright hated the guy. I mean, the first film I ever saw him in was, guess what?
Van Wilder. But think about it this way. Like, everything he's been in, though, I mean, yeah, Green Lantern aside and Origins aside, has been pretty interesting and unique.
Yeah.
And yes, he's doing a Free Guy 2, and he's going to do a Deadpool 3. Yeah, okay, those are, you know, kind of, but they're almost isolated things. They're not a part of a franchise. They're not a part of, they're a part of that old tentpole, you know.
Yeah, I've heard rumors of them.
Let's do three and be done, like the Nolanverse. Yeah. I was fine with it. It went three films, and then it concluded. That was the end. Like, there was no continuing on for ages. You know, I feel like, you know, unless you're a James Bond or Mission Impossible at this point, I feel like everything gets this massive fatigue. And even there, they swap out actors on James Bond every now and again. But there's only so long you can drag this stuff through before it just gets tiring. It gets old. People get tired of it. They don't care anymore. I honestly, like, even with the Arrowverse in this, it's DC and it's CW. I was fully invested in everything before they did the
Crisis
on Infinite Earths. That's got to be what it was, where they melded the multiverse.
Yep.
Yeah. Once they got done with that, like, because Arrow ended through that, they logically tied up some other shows that were canceled. You know, I stopped watching everything but The Flash after that. I had no investment. Like, Legends, I was just tired of. Like, I didn't like the whole alien angle. I didn't like when they kind of switched gears to some of that weird realm. Like, I wasn't a fan of certain seasons anyway. Like, some of the seasons were good, some of them weren't. I didn't like season one. I liked season two better and season three. And then kind of beyond that, it kind of got weird.
Yeah.
So I, you know, as people started changing hands in the cast, it just, I didn't care anymore. So I'm still invested in The Flash, but I think it's because it's only got one season left. But again, after the Crisis stuff where they had the massive crossovers of everybody, it was the natural tap out point for everything else for me. I was like, okay, from here on out, they're not planning on doing any more crossovers. Like, it's pretty much dead.
Yeah,
they know the universe is trickling to a close. They're finishing off things. Certain shows are getting canceled. I figured I'll just finish with The Flash because it was the second show that entered the Arrowverse. And then that will be my natural exit for the entire universe. Like, I don't care about Batwoman. I tried the first season, didn't really watch much of it.
And see, the thing with Batwoman is, and I will say this really quickly, is that Batwoman season one is essentially too much Alice in Wonderland.
Yep.
I hated that about it. I didn't dislike the person playing Batwoman at all.
No, it was just a weird direction to go in.
It was just, it was a weird, weird direction to go in kind of thing. Is it season two or season three of that show? Yeah, no, it was season two. Season two, they added the new actress.
She quit.
Because the other one, I don't know and I don't care. Yeah, whatever. So they added the new actress. I liked that. What I liked about Batwoman season two is we finally got Luke Fox Batwing in live action. Now, if you find listeners, and you including, because even though you're on the show, but anyone listening to the sound of my voice, go back to episodes 393 and 394 of The Pullbag, where Edward Kendra and I reviewed the Jimmy Palmiotti written Justin Gray artist Batwing Volumes 4 and 5. This is when Luke Fox made his New 52 debut. I love those stories, and we did that did those episodes before the season 2 happened. So when they announced that Camrys, whatever, I forget what his name, last name is off the top of my head, the guy that plays Luke Fox in Batwoman, when they announced that he was going to become Batwing, I was like, oh, hell yes, I have to watch. And that's really what made me want to watch season 3 of Batwoman. The other shows, it's funny, we're talking about this now. I went back recently in the last 6 months, and I started Legends all over again, and I made it up to the end of season 4. I don't think I've gone back to see season 5. But you're right. The Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover and Infinity War / and Endgame are the end points of those universes. The other thing, really briefly, is that some no-name company bought out the CW?
Yes. Yep, I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, wait, what? Huh?
They bought it for $1.
Okay, well, whatever.
And
I mean,
stocks.
Yeah. So, really quickly, I do want to go back to Ryan Reynolds, because as of this recording, July 21st, 2022, Mr. Van City Reynolds himself posted on Twitter, "We're supposed to announce Logan and Deadpool 1 and 2 will be the first R-rated movies on Disney Plus. Logan, Deadpool 1 and 2 are hitting Disney Plus on the 22nd of July." And then his tweet continues, "But we all know some Disney movies should already be rated R for irreversible trauma." And he posts for... Bambi. No, wait, wait. You gotta let me go through these. Please, these are amazing. He posts 4 images of Red Band rated R, you know, this preview, blah, blah, blah. "The following beloved animated classic should not be approved for all audiences, be they minors, or bashful. Breaking and Entering, Borderline Polyandry, Pretty Sure Those Diamonds Aren't Cruelty Free, Under 17 Requires 1 Parent or 7 Adult Guardians." "The second one, following beloved classics should not be approved for all audiences, particularly dog lovers. Total ugly cry inducing straight up murder of Old Yeller, also bear abuse. Under 17 requires parent or a quote unquote good boy who's very much alive. Number 3, all audiences, but that's the circle of life. Fratricide, mauling, very possibly half-sibling loving, or at least kissing cousins, seriously. Under 17 requires parent with parent, warthog, and meerkat." And then the final one is all audiences, because therapy's not cheap. "Cold-blooded killing of an innocent deer mom that will cause lifelong trauma. Under 17 requires parent or emotional support blanket." Oh, God. Oh, genius. Just pure genius. So, yeah, those tent poles, man, they're coming down. And look, we know, and like you mentioned earlier, we knew with James Bond, Connery was the first. It then went to, I think, Roger, just off the top of my head, Roger Moore. I know Timothy Dalton was in 2. George Lazenby was in 1, sadly only 1, but he was in 1. Pierce Brosnan had a good run from 95 to 2002. Yeah, I believe Die Another Day was his last one. And then it left. Okay, so from 1989 to 1995, and then from 2002 to 2006, because I believe 2006 was Casino Royale, where Daniel Craig took over. And now that Daniel Craig's Bond era is coming to an end, I don't know who they're going to get next. But honestly, these superhero roles, these live-action superhero roles, yes. Everyone knows Tony Stark is Robert Downey Jr., blah, 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 blah. But you're going to have to get somebody else eventually because, you know, he's essentially said he has nothing more to that he wants to do with the character. Like, that snap at the end. Look, the end of his first movie and the
Well, he bookended it the same way he ended the first film.
Truth is, I am Iron Man.
I am inevitable.
Boom. Done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's like he pulled his I'm Batman line.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He did a Michael Keaton. He did his Batman line. He's like, boom, I'm out.
Unless they tap him for an old man,
Tony Stark, like...
Well, yes, and we can talk about that. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I see
your image way up here in the chat, long time ago. But yeah, we can talk about that much, much later. Because
you know what?
Whenever it does happen, supposedly it's happening in 2022. I haven't read anything up on it. But whenever that Batgirl film does happen, I know he's in it. I'm just kind of curious to see the whole Batgirl angle of a film. To see what story they are going to tell with it. I just hope to God it's not Killing Joke.
I don't think they'll go that route because Batman is super old. So I think that they're going to do something original, which would behoove them.
Yes.
Honestly. And I would love to see them. Continue on with Keaton's universe and have the Batgirl, have, you know, because then they could pull a Batman Beyond. They could finally move past all of this crap that they keep trying to recycle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which I honestly would love to see.
Anything else, or where do we go from here with this now?
I think that's it. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse. We've kind of made our peace and made our beds with where we're going. And honestly, I think we're in a good place right now. So I guess the thing I want to pose to the listeners are, you know, what do you think about tent poles? What do you think about some of these different topics we've discussed in this episode? Let us know in the comments on either the Facebook page or on geekcastradio.com. And, you know, just, you know, whether it be about the clickbait articles, whether it be, I mean, I know we've talked about that ad nauseum before, whether it be entering public domain, whether it be, you know, episodes not being the same because, you know, websites can't do their actual research and they think that, oh, it's the same as this last one that came out. Yeah, idiots. Or a company's utter reliance on, let's do it because that's what we always do. So, yeah, just let us know. You can send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com, or you can go to the contact page on the website and do that as well. So, anything else you'd like to talk about before we go?
Absolutely. Next week, man. Next week. Because next week...
Yep, we have a special guest.
But wait, there's more. Yes, we have a special guest, and I will get to that in a moment. But next week is the 10-year Altered Geek video version is a decade old because you started it as a video version and then a year later you went to audio with it. But yeah, technically 2022 is the 10-year anniversary of Altered Geek.
That's crazy. It's crazy, man, crazy. And then, of course, I've got another podcast that's older yet.
Oh, yes. What is it? 2008 to 14.
Yeah.
All Things Transformers on August 8th, 2022, we'll be celebrating 14 years of All Things Transformers. So, yeah, as far as the guest, I...
Nope, we're not going to tell.
Well...
You're just going to have to show up. It's about a topic we discussed a few weeks back, though.
Yeah.
Or a few episodes back.
Yes. Don't...
So...
Don't be oligopolizing everything, folks.
Yep. Oligopoly. It's so fun.
Oligopolizing. I think I just made up a new word.
Well, it's better than that other YouTube video. Where they're like, oligopoly my...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Anyways, so before we go off on some weird tangent here.
Somebody please call Clippy.
Yeah, Clippy. Thank you, as always, for listening to Altered Geek. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, along with...
TFG1 Mike.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcatcher, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and, well, you get the picture. Search Altered Geek, and I'm fairly certain you'll find us there. Or, if you want to make your job easier, just go to geekcastradio.com and listen. We are working on a new website interface in the future. It's coming. Life has been hectic for me the last several months and will continue on through the end of summer. But I'm hoping by the end of the year I have something to show off, launch, and that will be much easier to listen to.
Yeah, I just flew across the country. My arms are tired.
Yeah, I drove. I went through the desert. I was in a gorge.
The desert. He went to the desert.
I got desert. Oh, dessert. Yeah, it's spelled almost the same. You know, stress spelled backwards is dessert. Yeah. Anyways. So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks. It doesn't talk, but it shows you that it's recording. So. Silent, but deadly. No. Oh, that's going to be a bad outtake.
Yes, yes it is.